fine. It's, I haven't started.
Thank you very much, and I'm very delighted that we have a resolution on the question of redrafting the bill. I thought we would just spend a few minutes to recap what the Honourable Wabasa said about what documents we would like to be considered in the redrafting of the bill. We are constituting this as an extensive task team, essentially, but the actual drafting cannot be done by the members of Parliament. It needs to be done by those experts who understand the mechanisms of redrafting a bill. Now, I have never personally, and I don't think my colleagues have actually ever been part of this redrafting process, so we do look to guidance from the state law advisor, the parliamentary law advisor, and indeed guidance from the department's legal people. Honourable Wabasa mentioned the documents that we seek to include in this redraft, and they were, first of all, the amendment bill itself, the document that was presented by the leader. I think she's the leader. Her name is Esme Duplessis, the leader of the advisory body to the minister. And the reason we want to include that document is that we felt that it provided a clearer structure to the way in which we want to proceed on this bill. There was a preamble, which I thought was useful, and the division of the four acts being amended was clearly articulated in the way the bill was drafted. However, I don't want us to lose sight of the amendments prepared in preparation for 2 days ago's meeting, which also had relevance because they included a lot of responses to discussions happening here and to those responses that came from the public hearing. I think they also included, to some extent, the NEDLAC agreements, which I also don't want us to lose sight of. Of course, the other document was the responses from the department, which obviously dovetail with the amendments. In other words, they are the explanatory version, it seems, supposed to be dealt with in the amendments themselves. Now, I think the two of the issues that have been raised consistently at the committee level have been constitutional issues. And I would like to request that we ask the drafters to have those in their minds in the redraft, because I don't think those matters are unresolvable that were raised. I think they just need clarification in the way in which the bill is drafted. The second issue, which I have slightly more concern about, are the way in which we conform to the international obligations to which South Africa has signed. The Berne Convention was a particular one that's not clarified properly in the legislation, and I think that those kinds of the redrafting can reflect more accurately our compliance with the international obligations. Those are some of the things that I wish to say on the redrafting process.
Chair, if I may, just to the list of documents to be considered, can I add three, if you will consider them? The one is the presentation on the 1st of June from our parliamentary legal advisor, her presentation, which went in some detail through some issues which she found to be of concern. The other two are the two regulatory impact assessment documents from October 2009 and November 2009. One was authored by the SBP, the other one was authored by the Presidency.
What's the SBP?
The SBP was Commission by the presidency to and the DTI to undertake this RIA, SPP is an independent South African company with a depth of experience in regulatory impact assessment.
Okay.
This was distributed in the public hearings, I think,
okay.
or slightly before
okay.
that. But both of them are relevant.
I can see no objection to us considering all those documents. Does anybody have a contrary view?
Thank you, Chair. I was wondering whether we still be able to maybe submit some documents to be also included in this pack, where we could maybe also write down the responses we made with respect to documents that we got in the last meeting and some more general comments with respect to timing and political matters.
Indeed, I think it's fair to say that in the redrafting, consideration will be given to all the discussions that have taken place. So by all means, discussions that have taken place at the committee level can indeed be submitted for consideration, for inclusion in the redrafting process. Because ultimately, we're going to go through this redraft on a clause-by-clause basis. And it is that time, I think, where we will get into the real substantive matters, and we will have to decide on what we can decide on and come back to those issues where we have a disagreement. So by all means, those documents can be submitted. Well, can we come to that? Because we will need to decide who's actually going to sit behind the computer and do it. So. Yes? Sorry, I don't know your name.
It's Mark Donnelly for the UCTIP unit.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it myself, but the NEDLAC report, I don't know if that would be useful to keep in there.
Yes, I haven't listed all the documents, because when I say broadly, I talked about the NEDLAC agreement. Those are obviously part of what we are doing. I haven't included every single document that has been submitted, because remember there was an extensive process of public hearings last year which have fed into this process. So of course I think the NEDLAC process documents will be part of that. Thank you. I wanted to move on to a matter that has been raised with me by a number of players regarding the relationship between this committee and other committees in Parliament that also deal in some way with Indigenous knowledge and traditional knowledge. And those committees would include the Committee on Science and Technology, and they would include the Committee on Health and Arts and Culture, as far as I understand. The chairperson raised in the portfolio committee today the question of including a person from science and technology on our portfolio committee, and I thought that we may actually need to include somebody in this task team from those areas so that we don't find ourselves running parallel processes on some of these issues where there's an overlap in responsibility between the two committees. I think some of you will know better than I, because I've only recently joined this process and I don't have the institutional memory, but I understand that there's considerable responsibility on IKS issues in the Department of Science and Technology, and that we need to take that into account and we need to follow what they are doing and not conflict in any way with other processes in government. I'd like to now open the floor for any discussion on that matter.
Thank you. Yeah, I would think that it's a great idea to do that. In terms of the responsibilities of the Department of Science and Technology, also for the international negotiations on the World Intellectual Property Organization, who are currently looking into these issues as well. While there has been frustrations with respect to these ongoing negotiations, they have now a clear mandate to produce some text aid-based international instruments with respect to traditional knowledge and the protection of cultural expressions and folklore by September. So even if they can't come to an agreement, which is something that happens at WIPO, they still might provide some interesting input that could be taken up by the national within the national process. So it'd be good to include them. I would also think it's good to include probably somebody from the committee reporting to the Department of Environmental Affairs, simply because the bioprospecting framework, which is probably the most advanced national framework on the protection of indigenous knowledge, is falling under their jurisdiction.
I think those are useful suggestions. Does anybody want to add to that? Bioprospecting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Chair. I think I definitely agree with the inclusion of other departments, but we must make sure that whatever we're considering here is not too broad, that at least it deals with the matters we're trying to fix in this bill. And unless I've misunderstood everything so far, the kind of genetic bioprospecting stuff is actually not, we're not trying to fix that in this bill. That's covered in patents. We're trying to do cultural items here, we're trying to do traditional knowledge, and it doesn't include any genetic issues or bioprospecting issues. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate the first half of including the other departments. We have to do that. But I'm worried that if we throw too many unrelated matters into the mix, you end up with kind of red herrings. People start worrying about issues which aren't core to what we're trying to do here.
Would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you. I understand your concern. The problem is, though, with when you deal with indigenous knowledge, it's really difficult to separate, the matters relating to knowledge on plants and landscapes and ecosystems from the way it's being performed, the way it's being presented, the way it's being drawn, whatever then would be subject to this particular legislation when it comes to copyright and so on. So, I mean, one of the challenges that not only South Africa but many countries have when dealing with indigenous knowledge is precisely this holistic aspect of it, and that it's really difficult to segment it from one another. And if you look at the large majority of indigenous knowledge really relates to the use of any sort of landscape or natural resources, which then in turn is translated into some sort of fixed process, whether it's something that's written down, performed, and so on, which then would fall under this particular act, if you want, to some extent. I also think it's useful to include them because they have some experience with respect to the process of actually sharing benefits with communities. You know, they have established trust funds. They have a certain experience of how do you actually get prior-informed consent, and have already, since the establishment of the act, started thinking through some of these very challenging aspects dealing with indigenous community. So from a process perspective, I think it would be useful to include them.
I wonder if that, what you're talking about, doesn't fall under the experts area, because I'm not sure the committee members from a science and, environment and tourism, or whatever it is now, environment and water, would have that particular expertise. But I think any experience that relates to the sharing of the way in which communities are dealt with, and this Bioprospecting Act, with which I'm not familiar, will obviously be something useful for us to consider, how they've treated various different aspects of the same material. But perhaps the committee is not the appropriate one. I think we can flag that as something that we might need to request information on that as we deal with some of these issues, and comparatively how those matters have been dealt with under that act. But I think in the light of what Dr. Van Braun has said about the negotiating text in at WIPO, we really do need to take that extremely seriously, because I will discuss it with the chairperson. We have to discuss it briefly, where we will ensure that the DTI senior people, engage with the science and technology senior people to make sure that we are not going at loggerheads with each other, but rather on a parallel course where our work complements each other. That is the ultimate objective, so that we don't conflict with any decisions or positions that South Africans are taking in an international community that we are not aware of. So I think we need to have a open line between those two areas. The third point I wanted to make, and this is my final point, and then I will obviously allow anybody who wants to raise anything else to do so, is that we very effectively drafted questions during our processes for the experts. And we drafted those questions, and then we got a written response on key issues, especially the flagged issues. I think it was a useful way forward because it allows, it wasn't a long, it was a couple of pages, you know, it wasn't a long explanation, but I think in the way in which we work with our experts, that would be a useful method of tackling some of the key questions. So you could say, the committee have raised this problem, and could you give us an opinion on that? So I thought that we should, because I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for us all to meet all the time, and we might need to just bring in those kind of opinions as and when they arise. I know I spoke briefly to Dr. Kindelera, who said that he could play such a role where he could give advice on an ad hoc basis on key areas, and I think that we might use others in a similar way. So I'd just like to propose that we consider that that way of dealing with some of the key issues that arise. Is that everyone in agreement? Okay, now it gets down to the real thing. Who's going to write this thing?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think that would be my area of expertise. I can draft the red draft.
Okay.
There won't be any, won't be a big deal, just a red draft, I'd call it. Thank you, Chair. And at the front page, it will be reflected as a red drafted by the National Assembly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Tim?
Yeah, I just need to understand the difference in responsibilities between the state law advisor and the parliamentary law advisor. From my understanding of it, it would be more appropriate for the parliamentary law advisor to do the drafting, since we are the legislative body. So surely we should take that responsibility, and the parliamentary law advisor should lead it.
Yes, Simon.
Thank you. The way it works is that a parliamentary legal advisor works closely with the state law advisor. The actual drafting expertise lies with them. So we acknowledge the fact that they have the method and the wording in how to draft, but we will be working very closely. So I think with Mr. Quetta and myself, we'll form a team on this, with him being the primary person drafting.
Chair?
Please.
Also chair there, actually. I suppose I'm Joan here. No, look, Chair, this particular issue, it's a sensitive one, because I think as well that we had agreed informally, and possibly even formally in committee to some extent, that one of the areas or submissions that may have guided us, guided the drafting team and indeed the task team, would have been some of the material that may have come in the wrong manner to Parliament. You will recall we had something brought in here as a bill from, I forget her surname, that's why I'm hesitating to say it, Ismay, is it? Duplessis, Professor Duplessis. A lot of the structure there, in particular, could have been useful on hand. The problem that continues to prevail is that the request I made to the department because it should be in their area, this document, is that what we've indicated, we would like to make use of it, but it needs to come here not as a bill, because only the minister tables bills. And I've repeatedly said this in committee, last year and again this year. So we are requesting, and from time to time that has happened here in Parliament, where some advisers put the word bill here, and we say, no, you may not come here with a bill, you can come here with a submission. So we just need to ensure, and I did speak to the DG about this, to ensure that it comes back so it becomes a resource document that we can make use of.
I think that's a fair point, and I think that that whoever has that electronically, that document, should simply delete the first page and put a heading, whatever page relates, and put a heading that says submission from whoever it is on suggested proposal for the IP amendment law. Will that suffice?
Again, Chair, if I may just
suggest, I think that that would be left to the department. We have made our request. We've made it quite clear. Please remove all references to this is a bill, you know, and back page, footers, all of that. The substance of what is there can be useful. So that's all we're saying, and we have already communicated this to the minister, to the DG, and to Mr. Nyetse Tensi, and in fact to the DDG herself. But we're not, the minister has no problem and has indicated very clearly that that is the case. So we would like to see the minister's position prevail.
Yeah, I of course came in late on this, but can I just clarify that? I understood that that document was delivered to the committee, not to the department. So, and it didn't come from the department, it came from this individual. So I don't know who must change it. Maybe it is us as a committee who must change it. I see Mr. Strayland's ready to say something.
If I may, I know the time is of the essence. I will try to speak accordingly. Here it is. If, before I say anything, please allow me to say that the chair that I'm sitting on this morning has become rather uncomfortable. Hopefully I'm used to that kind of scenario and it would not affect me in any way. But as you can see, I'm sitting here alone at the moment. I am not a policy maker in the DTI. I'm supposed to be serving the purpose that I'm there for, which is hopefully a legal, technical instrument in the hands of the DTI. If I just may very, very briefly say, this is the document that was submitted by Professor Esme to proceed during the public hearings to this honourable, or the other honourable committee. It called a spade by any other name, but it remains a spade. Please allow me to say that we can put whatever heading we would wish, and the last week has been really difficult because of what has been going on. I'm speaking here, I trust, in confidentiality behind the curtains.
I regret that you've been put in an awkward position. Okay. But we really appreciate your frankness in this regard. I see the chair's hand, and then I'll come back again.
I think Advocate Stradham, you were probably present when we made it clear that the minister should see this, given that the person on the back page is listed as the chairperson or deputy chair of the advisory committee. And it became apparent that the minister to whom the person reports had not seen it. And we made that very clear, as you know, in committee, and communicated that, and also asked the DDG, was she not aware of it? without repeating what went on in that committee meeting. Suffice to say, no one had seen it in this committee until the proceedings began, which is why I now request that I see the documents before, all of them, so we are aware of what is coming to committee. Because we needn't have gone down that route. A phone call would have been sufficient to the respective person to say, either you are here as an individual or you are here according to what you've written here in this document as the chairperson of this. You cannot come as both. We actually withdrew the document. Notwithstanding that, it remained, it's come to the committee, it remains as in the files that have come and how one has dealt with it. Some of us have not studied it. But what we are aware of is one or two areas that I am certainly aware of, which I think I also spoke to you about personally, did seem to be able to address one or two of the challenging issues we were grappling with. And as I said in committee at the time, you know, once this has been seen by the minister and the department who owns it as it should, you know, because it's that person who's done it, by all means, there are areas here that are going to assist us when we amend the bill, because we were still during an amendment process. What we are saying now is that we've started a new process, the redrafting, or we will as soon as Parliament accepts the resolution and adopts the resolution. And anything that can be of assistance, that comes through the right channels, we need to see. In the same way, we are now taking on a panel of experts, one way or the other. So, indeed, no one would want to put you, who are such a hard-working and committed member of Integrity, in any difficulty. Part of the issue lies in our administration that allowed the document to come through as a bill. So it's not a question only of DTI. It's a question also of Parliament's responsibility. But at the same time, one does not cut off one's nose, as it were, just to achieve a technicality. You ensure that whatever manner, even if it comes through as it was coming through, to look at so that amendments, if necessary, may be assisted, would have helped. In the redrafting, it's become a far more serious manner, as the task team has spelled out. We can't. Amendments, yes, we've got them and we've heard them and we've got the public hearings. But whatever we say, we come back to the same thing. The bill needs drastic redrafting. Anybody with any legal expertise can see that. And I'm sure our state lawyer, once he applies his mind to that legislation, I'm sure will appreciate what the committee has been saying, and indeed the parliamentary advocate. So we wouldn't like you to continue to feel uncomfortable, but rather to operate from a very comfortable base, as we all do.
Thank you very much.
Mario?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Again, apologies for intermittent attendance. Just want to make a statement on my time, short as it may be. Well, this may appear to be a setback. I mean, we are committed to this legislation being adopted. There is an expectation that has been created, so something needs to be done. All the difficulties that I have raised are not about the outcome. It's not about the intention of bringing about benefits to those who collectively originated things of benefit. They are about how one goes about it, the consistency, the legal consistency, the intellectual defendability of the product domestically, internationally, both from a point of view of image and the the fact that it must work. It must work within government. We don't want to find ourselves in a situation of putting up a system which then absorbs all the money, and we have created expectations and none of the money goes to the intended beneficiaries. So my commitment is to help. I can be an extra set of hands on board. I can do some drafting. And my suggestion is that we start from tabulating, as Advocate Stridon was suggesting, exactly what it is that we want to do. So, and for each of that, we create options. And I know that I'm jumping the guns, Madam Chairman, but I think it's valuable that we utilize this time just to, ahead of the of Parliament adopting the resolutions, that we can show that there is no intention here to delay. It's a setback, but it's not a setback, it's a jump, it's a leap forward. My suggestion is that we identify these are the type of values to which we want to give recognitions, and we create options. I mean, things like folklore, let's spell them out, let's break them down. If we need to utilize examples, let's utilize examples. Then we look at the options. How do we do it? We vest it in the state. We force people who use them to make arrangements without vesting them in the state. We have a data bank. All these different options, which we have been discussing, not anew, just what emerges from the public submission. So nothing new, just we tabulate, we apply that mind, we check, we have a discussion, we check out what we like and what we don't like, and then we got a blueprint. And then the drafting becomes, becomes easy.
Chair, I just want to intervene at this point to say, I just want to say at this point, redrafting implies that the policy decisions taken at cabinet level are the same. Because if we wanted to change the policy framework, we would send it back to cabinet, but we didn't. We're redrafting what already has been decided through the cabinet process and being presented to us. That we must not lose sight of. Tim?
Perhaps I can provide a neat way out. I'm not suggesting the policy needs to change. I think what we need guidance on, or rather what the drafters need guidance on, is the approach. And I think this is where the experts come into play. I personally would appreciate a session with the experts on the kind of broad approach, which could then lead to guidance to the drafting committee, which I agree with Mr. Ambertini, should probably include us as well. But so what I suggest is on Tuesday we get the CVs, Wednesday the committee decides on the experts. What I suggest is immediately after that we sit down with the experts, discuss the approach, and then provide guidelines to whoever's doing the drafting after that.
Okay.
Jan, did you want to?
No, that perhaps come on the draft.
Okay.
Chairperson, I thought that it would be proper for the task team to be able to see the first draft by Tuesday, if possible, so that we don't delay this longer than it is necessary. Of course, I'm aware that we also await the approval of Parliament, but I think the work of the task team and the committee should continue. So I suggest that the task team, when it meets on Tuesday, it begins to see signs of a first draft, so that we have something to consider.
Sue?
Yeah.
Okay.
You see, we've got a task team because we want to make progress. We've got experts to assist us in certain areas. Otherwise, there's no point in having a parliamentary advocate here, a state law advisor, or the advocate Stradon who we've invited here from DTI. No point. You may as well ask them to leave. They are the professionals here who read law. In fact, there's lots of, you know, and I was trying to say to me that actually
can't see what we're going backwards all the time for. You've already made it clear. If we now want to reverse the resolution and reject the bill, we must say so. If not, and that doesn't appear to be the decision we took, then we need to shift with the expertise Parliament has provided us with. They are not here to be replaced. They are here to be supported. The reason they were replaced in the company's legislation was very simple. The so-called parliamentary advocate assigned to us didn't know the first thing about that, you see, and requested, and so did her supervisor and manager. A very different situation prevailed. But in these circumstances, we have the professionals from the state law legal office as well as the Parliament. What they require, and we require, will be the experts giving us their expertise as requested, as you reiterated right at the beginning. That's when the experts come in. The experts aren't here to redraft. And I must make that clear. We are redrafting subject to the technical advice in drafting. And that is why I think Indaba is saying, can you make a start on this and say you've looked at it and this is where we should be going? At least indicate the task team, Chair.
Thank you.
I accept completely the fact that we are bound by the policy package of the bill. And I'm always mindful of the fact that the power of policy decision making based in the ANC and in its parliamentary and cabinet expression because of the mandate of the people. So I want to work within that package of policy. And we need to define what is policy and what is implementation of policy. Let me give you a concrete example, which I think is a preliminary issue. If I am correct, if I am correct that we have a problem of constitutionality in terms of expropriation and in terms of money bill, then all that hinges on the fact that we take rights and we waste them into the state and from the state we license them to other people. We could achieve the same policy objective with a different technique of recognizing the rights in the entity, and then we discuss with the entities, but that's a given with a problem. The problem irrespective of things. But we statutorily vest the right in the entity, and we demand that anyone who makes use of the right pays a royalty or enters into an agreement. That's against the backdrop of the same provisions which provide for a state registry. So the state only holds the registry and does not hold the right. Now, that would eliminate the issue of expropriation, would eliminate the issue of a money bill because there is no licensing of state resources. That's correct. Now, that's a difference. The policy is the same. It's a substantial difference in implementing technique. That's why I say we need to have options. This option, that option, same option. Same thing. We have now finally reached consensus that there is an issue of compliance with the Bern Convention and the TRIP. That hinges about giving same recognition to foreigners as we give to South Africans, possibly in respect of realities which take place abroad. Now, definitionally, this might be extraordinarily complex. It's a circle that can't be squared. Or that the square can be circle, not sure, Pythagoras, a long time ago. But then we make perhaps even different option of moving away completely from the state recognition. I would suspect, and there again where the experts come in, that we, if we create a personal right where the person is the collective, to be licensed interpersonally, we may have a lesser measure of problems with compliance with Bern. Again, options in that sense would be valuable, options which are thought through, not in terms of changing the policy, but in terms of how to implement it.
Chair, I think that we've heard from the state law advisor that he is willing and able to begin such a redraft process. We know that the parliamentary law advisor has been part of our deliberations since we began this year. We know that they can call upon the DTI advisor, legal advisors, in any technical or other matters. I'm sure that everything that you have said, Mr. Ambrosini, and that other colleagues have said around this table will be taken into account. But I think we have to get on with the process of beginning such redraft. Now, the only thing that I am concerned about is the time frames, because Honourable Tlabasa has talked about a very short time frame. I'm not sure whether we can ask time frames. We're talking about whether enough thought has been put into the new draft that such a time frame is legitimate. And so I'd like to ask the advisors in that regard, please.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, that was the question that I intended to pose to the committee for guidance on this issue. Because the way forward now is that this draft will be based on the introduced bill, on the proposed amendment by the department, on Statement to Places document and other documents. Right. So, and the other issue is that there has not been any accepted or agreement within the community as to what should be captured in the redraft. Right. So now we really need the guidance on the issue of what the redraft should look like by Tuesday here, because we thought that there's going to be some discussions first, right, an agreement as to what is intended to be captured in the redrafted bill. We need that guidance for
I'd like to hear from Charmaine and Dr.
I was wondering, in response to that, whether, and also what was said before with respect to that, there is already a policy document, right? And I was wondering whether it's possible to not necessarily rewrite this policy document, but to revisit maybe in anticipation of going into more specific drafting, questions surrounding what is possible to protect with intellectual property laws in terms of indigenous knowledge and what is not, because this is something that also came up in the debate here in terms of not so much whether there should be a sui generis law or not and so on, but that there are real shortcomings in terms of what intellectual property instruments can offer in terms of indigenous knowledge protection. That's why countries like India, Brazil, Sri Lanka, Thailand, they all have decided to go a different path. And I think it might be useful before you start drafting the amendment bill to really look into what are the technical challenges, and then once acknowledging these challenges and saying what is really the role, what kind of probably mostly defensive protection can intellectual property laws play, to then specifically look at that before now just re-entering the same process without really trying to understand some of those more fundamental underlying challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't see a problem redrafting, putting in the proposed amendments, just putting that into what we have, so that you have a redraft that almost is what was and what was proposed. But what I still don't understand is how the department sees this model working. And I was wondering if it would perhaps be possible to ask that the department explain to us from the start, this is what is going to be, this is what we, when we did the policy, when we develops a policy, this is what we foresaw happening in practice. This is what will be registered. This is how the process will work. This is how the council and the registrar will work together. This is how the fund will work. This is going to be the purpose of the fund. Because once we understand that, redrafting actually just falls into place. And I think to some extent it builds on what everyone has said. To some extent we need to just, the redrafting itself is not the biggest problem. Once we know what should be in there, I think the state law advisor can do it probably quite fast, but his time is will be for him to say. But it would be nice just to have some kind of understanding, even if behind the scenes, perhaps the state law advisor starts working on the response of the DPI and the proposed amendment and starts working that into the current bill that is before, because that I think is a process that can start. But I don't see us, you know, I'm very worried that we start a redraft and we start working section by section, but we still don't know where we are going. And I think that adds to what our expert has said. If we need to understand what can be protected and how we are going to do this, because the policy that was presented to Cabinet indicates that we are using the current systems to protect and what we can do with the current systems to protect. So in redrafting, we need to accept that there's limits and we cannot put things in the draft that the department can't execute. So that I would want it to request that we maybe just get something from the department setting out in practice. Step away from the bill, tell us in practice how they see this working.
Okay.
Well,
the thing is,
where I'm finding a difficulty is we've actually done this several times with the department, and it is in our files. We've had the policy, we've had 3 2-hour engagements here. You know, apart from that, the issues raised about the trust, the this and that, I'm not saying that we as Parliament entirely agree with the way the fund is proceeding, not at all. But that has been explained in detail. For us to keep on calling them back begins to call into question where we are storing and recording our information that we are receiving over a period of 6 months. Because we receive that information. So I don't know if Andre, if Mr. Herman's made a full file available to you. But what was clear when before we reached this point of even the Honourable Van de Merwe, the chair, taking over this task team, was a position whereby the department made it clear that this, they wanted to incorporate these three different pieces of legislation, or whichever they were, into one, so that the Indigenous knowledge would be protected. We were given several hours of a workshop explaining why. Subsequent to that, we went to Geneva to pursue our own inquiries directly with these international organizations such as WIPO, not in half an hour, in days. We went to the ICT or whatever, spent another couple of days there, went to the WTO. All of the issues that had been raised, we raised there. The workshop document, I think, is extremely helpful in this direction. And I understood the problem to be in the end, as I understand it, is that the bill as it stands and was tabled, its structure leads to an incoherency in the end. Instead of addressing those policy issues, it muddles through the policy issues. So it doesn't achieve, in our opinion, what it sets out to achieve because of what I call its structure. But that's that. The other issues are the very substantive issues that have been overlooked. And the third one, yes, there remain possibly some constitutional issues. So this is why I wondered that at this point, if we took into account what the committee has been raising repeatedly, we know the policy is not going to change, and the committee agrees with the policy and objectives. So
we don't have a difficulty there. We have a difficulty in the way it was drafted.
Thank you. I'm not sure I was taking the meaning of what the purpose is, but not really reflecting what I'm saying. They're making me sound much smarter than I actually am. How's it you? Okay. Now, I know you, Madam Chairman, and our committee chairman are fully committed to the notion of transparency and doing things transparently. And I think that what Charmaine says makes sense. I mean, I've even been on the other side of the drafting processes, I understand. We have had, as Jean say, an extensive fact-finding. All the facts, the submissions are before us.
Mm-hmm.
What we have not done is the deliberation on those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, and all the other bills we've all been involved, we've prior to the fact we've got a bill which is lineal, and then with all that information in the back of my mind, of our mind, as we go through the bill, we debate with one another what should stay in, what should go out, what else should go in, and we that's how bills are done. This is different because the form will follow the substance, so we cannot integrate our discussions on substance in what we have before us by means of making an amendment here, adding a clause there, deleting a clause elsewhere. That's why, if I hear Charmaine correctly, she suggests that let's have a discussion, let's identify what the issues are, then the drafting is easy. When we tell them we're happy with this, we're not happy with this, this should be shaped differently to achieve the same results. So if I am correct, what we should do is to tabulate, have a list of issues on which we should apply our mind, and we can provide our contribution, and then we look at that issue, we go through that, we see where there is consensus, where is no consensus, and then we look at options. Obviously, my personal function here is just to make inputs to what remains an ANC decision making. You guys make the decision at the end, and then once that is done, they can spend a couple of days and draft it into legalese. But it is our decision making that should come first and the identification of issues before.
I don't want us to reflect deliberations in the bill. We haven't got a bill yet. We're looking for a redraft. So we don't want us to have the fight before we draft the bill. We need a draft bill first. Now, what I would like to say, though, I hear what the chairperson has said, and I hear what Charmaine has said, and I hear what Mr. Quetta has said. What I'd like to suggest is, because so many of us are new and have not been part of the processes, no matter what we read in a document, it's difficult to grasp all the information that has gone ahead. Could we ask that we suggest that Charmaine is allowed that opportunity to hear the purpose behind the drafting of the bill. Because we're not changing policies here. We are not changing, we're not rejecting the bill. We are accepting the bill. We want it to be redrafted in a different form. We think it will be easier for us to deal with in a different form. So may I ask, with your permission, then, that we accede to what Charmaine has asked, that we say, let's have that conversation between the DTI, who are obviously the drafters of the original bill, and the ones that we are asking to redraft, to get the essence of what the purpose behind each and every clause and page of this bill were. In that way, they can look at where it has gone wrong, in our view, that requires so many amendments, all the little gremlins and the difficulties and the drafting mistakes, and
and they can redraft it along those lines. Could I ask that?
I only have one difficulty here.
This will be the third time, because the third time the committee has changed. I have no control over when there will be more redeployment from all political parties. So it means that should we find ourselves being redeployed, and the DA and COPE also redeploying members, etc., at a moment's notice, we'll start yet again. So I want to accede to the main request, which is talking for this team to be brought on board. That is the task team itself. And my appeal, Chair, is to say to those we've got on board here on the other side, this little grouping, if they could apply their minds, as I think Advocate van der Merwe has already done, because she's given us two reports on it already, then they'll be in a position by Tuesday for the task team, if we can get the Director General to you on that day with the DDG, if she's better, and if not with the DDG, with the Chief Director, to come here to brief the task team in particular on matters for the experts to go back, and on Wednesday for you to report exactly where you're beginning to go with this. Because I don't think we'll get him for 2 days in a row. You'll either get him Tuesday or Wednesday, given the demands on his time in the department at this particular time. So the DG has already agreed to come. It's the day and the time. And I think the best person to do that would be that unit with the DG present. So that is what my appeal is going to be. And given that, I may say, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the DG was there 5 years ago when this was first flown in. So he's quite familiar with them. He was not there for the drafting, but, I mean, he was there. So all I'm trying to say is, I agree to the purpose. You want to refamiliarize yourselves with it. Certainly the state law advisor, who hasn't had the same amount of time, I think, as yourself, Advocate van der Merwe. And you don't need any more briefing yourself, of course, Advocate Stratum. So I certainly agree on that point. If it's going to only be Tuesday, we will have a problem having them back to the committee. And we won't redo it in the committee. I'll ask Mr. Hermans to invite on Tuesday anyone else who wishes to join the task team to join you. Okay. If it is Tuesday, he can come. If he can't come Tuesday, well, then you will proceed with the task team on Wednesday for the first 2 hours, or maybe three.
Look, I need to close the meeting now.
Go ahead. I just need some clarity. Sorry, your proposal that the state law or the parliamentary law about meets the DTI, I think it's a great idea, but I think the task team and the experts should be there as well.
Well, that's exactly what I said.
But we'll only have experts on Wednesday.
See, that is not what I said. I've just spent 5 minutes saying, at this stage, as I sit here, I'm not sure if he can come for 2 days. I'm not sure. The chances are he's only
going to be able to come one day. Sorry, Chair, I'm being misunderstood. On Tuesday we're getting the CVs of the experts. On Wednesday we will hopefully be able to convene them there. I'm suggesting that the experts need to be included as well as the DG. I think
not
that's
me.
Correct.
We're talking about the redraft.
No,
yeah.
Sorry,
Madam. Chair,
yeah,
I'm on it.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone here talks about redrafting. As if it were a mechanical exercise. It is not. It is a consequence of reshaping a sample. That's a policy exercise. There are different levels of policy. The main policies remain, but when you change the definition of indigenous community, when you change anything, you are changing law, you're changing policies, you're addressing issues. if the experts are to provide any benefit to this process, then they should be part of that process. If the experts are to provide expertise in making things fit, in dealing with issues of constitutionality, attacking what folklore is, be giving inputs on anthropology or anything else, that must be part of the redrafting. I do not understand why we want to put the redrafting ahead of everything else which ought to go into the redrafting. Everything else that we are discussing is finalized to redrafting. It just, unless you have a plan behind, that's why I appeal to transparency, and you go and liaise with the department, and somehow out of that interaction between your study group and the department something somehow springs up, then it's rational. And that's fine. You have the privilege to do so, I'm not questioning. But otherwise, what you're putting before us is just not rational.
No, Chairperson, you know, we will not proceed if we now discuss as if the first time we're sitting in the meeting to talk about this bill. There's been a lot of discussion previously. There have been documents put before the committee and before the task team. So it's not as if we are asking the legal advisors to start from nothing. And we are saying that experts, some of them have been sitting with us, who have actually made some inputs into the discussion. And all of that forms part of the basis for starting the redraft. And I think at this point, Chairperson, we must just move ahead and start with the redraft. Otherwise, we will meet in the next meeting and sit and do nothing. We will have a repeat of this discussion in the next meeting, and that's what I'm saying we can't do.
Yeah.
We don't have the much enough time to sit in a meeting and discuss what we discussed today. When we meet next time, we must look at what is there. As a redraft, and everybody else involved who has been here before and those who have not been here before will input into the process of redrafting. So let's not talk as if we are starting all over again and there's nothing that is a reference.
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Look. You know, I don't think I agree with you, Mr. Ambrosini, on what you said. We are not deliberating through the process. We're still going to get the bill and we're going to argue every point. What we're asking for is a redraft. And in that sense, it is technical. Because we're not changing the substance of the thoughts behind the bill through the redraft. I don't want us to get into this any further. I want us to support the proposal made to accede to the main request of for the task team to meet with the DG, the DDG, the chief director, to bring it on board on particular matters, and on Wednesday report back to the team. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite the DG to come and address the task team, including the legal drafters, on the issues and the substance behind the original draft, in order that they can proceed in the drafting process. Is that to what we agreed on?
Well, Chair, I think that was you made the proposal, which I thought went down well. You asked if that was an agreement with what we had on board, and as chairperson of the actual committee itself, the full committee, I agreed, but could not give categorically whether it would be Tuesday or Wednesday. And I may add, legally and constitutionally speaking, we are legislators who are required under the Constitution to apply our minds.
I think I agree with everything, except I keep coming back to the same point. This is a deeply technical bill. that requires expert advice. We don't understand these technical issues. That the process is 100% correct, except there's one key piece of the puzzle missing, and that is the expert. So I fully support the next steps, but I think those experts properly constituted need to be there to advise the whole process. Otherwise, what is the point of having them? These decisions get taken before we have the expert advice on the technical issues. That's my only proposal, but otherwise I totally support the way forward.
The experts are not going to advise on the draft. They are advising on substance matters, as I understand it. Mario?
Well, then clarity, because you know, Dr. Avanza was suggesting that the drafting takes place with the experts. So the experts who are here are not going to be involved in the redrafting. Is that, I misunderstood.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, I misunderstood. Okay, then
I said the experts will be conducted as we deal with the redraft. But we have the parliamentary legal advisor here. We have the state law advisor here. We have the department of officials here who deals with the technical aspects.
I understand.
They are saying
then
that before and do the redraft, the experts will advise us further as we deal with the issue, clause by clause.
Thank you.
Can I still on the floor?
I thought we had one chair here, not even I.
Go
ahead, because
I
need to close the
meeting now. Yes, thank you. No, I ask a question. I received a clarification that I'm fine. Just to understand, we're redrafting the same substance, then we bring the experts, then we deliberate.
Chairperson. I want to make this very clear, and I seem to be saying the same thing over and over again. You will be briefed as a smaller group first, before the committee. The experts will deal with the committee itself and later come over into this. Right now, our parliamentary state law advisor, our state law advisor and parliamentary legal advisor have both requested that. I said Advocate Stradom hardly needs to introduce his own subject matter to himself. There is nothing more to be said on the matter. The experts are brought in and when they are required by the committee. And the task team will utilize them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I certainly understand. I hope everybody else does. And thank you very much indeed. So we will follow the process as detailed in the notes there. We will find out the availability of the DG and we will proceed on that basis at the task team meeting on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Your daughter,
Kate.
I'm going to be late. Thank you very much.
Advocate.
Yeah, okay.